News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 6, oh, I'm sorry, yes, yeah, we'll call it 8.07 now on Mobile Mornings. And the text line is also the number if you want to call us, 251-343-0106, opening up, you know, the lines and turning up your voice in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll talk about everything from the mayoral race and the debate that's going to come up on Thursday that you can be there at it at the Business Expo, or you can just listen to it on FM Talk 106 with Sean Show in the middle of the day.
Yeah, that'll be Thursday, and then tomorrow, that's 2 weeks out, if my math is correct.
Right. Yep.
2 weeks out from those elections, so it'll be here before you know it. And
today's the final day.
Candidates,
you got to register today.
Yeah.
If you want to catch that vote.
Yeah. So we're getting close to time there. We'll talk about that some this hour. 251-343-0106. Plenty of other local news we can get to as well. And also, I think making a little bit of news, maybe, at the end of this hour, Desi Tobias with Tobias and Comer Law will be in for Law 251. And I'm excited. We're going to talk about a certain contract to build some Coast Guard vessels that was announced, awarded. I think it was awarded over a year ago, but the big announcement came a few weeks back about Burdon and bringing new jobs and building. Well, there's a little more to that story, so Desi and I are going to kind of bat that around a little bit at the end of the hour, and we'll also talk about the mud dumping controversy, which we've been talking about for months and months here at FM Talk 106.5, but you see more and more local politicians, but even, you know, statewide, starting to hear more public representatives speaking out and saying
more objection.
Yeah, more objection to what's going on, and more cities in our area that are kind of signing on against how the Corps of Engineers is going about this thing. So we'll talk about that with Desi, but that continues to be a big conversation.
You know, Desi's not just an attorney. He's from here, so he has this, so many Mobilians have got a very close relationship with the bay and with the water. And so there's going to be opinions out there. There's a lot of people also on the board and maybe just members of Baykeeper. The board, I would think, but also just simply people who donate to Baykeeper who've got some sway, you know.
Yeah.
They're members of Baykeeper for a reason. They believe in that mission. And who knows how this thing's going to go, but it does. If you were for a different way of doing what they're doing with the dredging, it seems now that there's possible light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
Seems more likely than it has previously.
Right.
And it's, you know, again, when you talk conservation in this sense, you don't have people strapping themselves to trees to keep the forest from being cut down. It's like there are other options to dispose of this silt.
Yeah.
And why don't you explore some of that rather than what's going on? But we've talked about that plenty. We'll get into that with Desi again at the end of the hour. Some interesting stuff. And like you said, you say this just about every day. If we needed to, the three big things would be Trump-centric a lot of the time, because there's just so much going on and leading from the front in the executive. This whole and I kind of was almost hands-off this weekend. I just try to, when there's big stories about other cities, you know, I'm kind of paying attention, but I don't really dig deep because I'm so often focused on what's happening here in Alabama. But sounds like what's happening in D.C. and Trump really taking the crime seriously now, and the homeless part of that equation sounds like something that could transfer to some other cities as well if they like what ends up happening in the nation's capital.
Yeah, it's interesting that Trump, it's like, I think when that Doge guy got beat up by the young gang members or whatever, of course, it was 3 a.m. in the morning, and in a way you're asking for it being out there at that time, but kind of set him off.
Seemed like a final straw kind of thing.
It did. So Trump is vowing to make Washington, D.C. safer, quote, safer and more beautiful than it ever was. This was on Truth Social, adding that he would be cleaning out the homeless and putting criminals in jail. Now, sounds like just words, but listen to what he wrote, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. In a post on Truth Social, Trump explained that, quote, just like the border, keep that in mind, changes to the nation's capital would occur very fast. Trump announced that he will be holding a press conference today, outlining a plan to essentially stop violent crime in the District of Columbia. You're like, well, how do you do that? If we could do that in Mobile, we would. We could just stop it. Anyway, I'm going to make our capital safer and more beautiful than it ever was before. The homeless have to move out. All caps, immediately. We will give you places to stay, but all caps, far from the capital. The criminals, you don't have to move out. We're going to put you in jail where you belong. He continues, it's all going to happen very fast, just like the border. This will be easier. Be prepared. There will be no, all caps, Mr. Nice Guy. We want our capital back. I mean, that's laying it out there. That's saying that, I mean, it's saying a couple of things. But I think in comparing it to the border, you know, you look at the, you look at a problem that seems insurmountable. Maybe crime in our city. You know, it's like, gosh. You know, we had a shooting over the weekend. Two people shot, 2:30 in the morning downtown. But, you know, doesn't mean that the shooting didn't happen. It happened. It's disturbing. Some of these problems seem insurmountable. Well, the border seemed insurmountable. And suddenly, he got it done.
Yeah.
He got it done. So he's comparing these problems to the border, meaning if he's given the authority, things are going to happen.
Yeah.
So how quickly will they happen? How much protest will there be against it? You know, everything that he does gets this pushback because it's very aggressive. ICE, you know, they're protesting all over the place in Democratic cities about what ICE is doing. So now he's talking about two things. The homeless, going to move them out. They're unsightly. We don't want them there. What's the humanitarian side of this? I don't know.
And where are they going?
Going?
I think some places around the nation's capital probably want to know where that's supposed to be.
Exactly. He says far away from the capital.
Okay.
So it's almost like, look, this is a place where international of international status, like very few capitals in the world. We can't, it just, it's a bad look.
Yeah.
And I would say that even as a citizen of this town, I don't know the answer to the homelessness, but just on every ramp, every interstate ramp, there seems to be people there. And it's just a bad, uncomfortable look. I don't know what the solution is, but I'm just saying as a citizen, I'd rather not have to see it. Now, I'm being selfish, but you know what I'm saying.
And a lot of panhandling going on, too, and that's not necessarily the homeless. I think generally it is. I got thinking about that because Bess Rich was posting about that, I think I saw on Facebook over the weekend. Maybe someone was commenting on the mayoral race, and for some reason homelessness came up, if I remember correctly. So it's a problem, I think, pretty much nationwide.
It is.
Now, I'm wondering what the legal pushback on this is looking like because, you know, this isn't the District of Columbia. This isn't a state. I guess I would think that the president has more authority in a situation like that rather than just sending the National Guard to a state. And we saw that, of course, because this went on and on, kind of exactly what you're seeing happen between Trump and the D.C. Mayor Bowser. We saw a lot of that when Trump and Bass, the L.A. mayor, were going back and forth. Now
that had to do with the ICE agents and the deportation. This is different, but it's similar, right?
Right. And, of course, he put the Fed assets out there in California because he said the protests, the anti-ICE protests, were at risk of harming federal buildings out there. So that was kind of his built-in reason for amping up the law enforcement or the guard that was out there. For D.C., I wonder just kind of what guardrails there are and how serious are those guardrails, because we've seen, I think, and I'm glad, a more emboldened Trump administration in many different ways. And I think so much of that is because there have been so many court battles brought to his feet that were so minor. It's kind of like the boy who cried wolf, right? If you're suing the president over every little thing he does, then when it's actually something that you believe is not constitutional or you don't want to see happen and you file a lawsuit, why should that carry any more weight than when you're like
the frivolous ones?
Like Boasberg got slapped down for something he clearly did that was not in his purview. So I wonder what the legal pushback on this is, but I always think back to, and it's happened time and time and time again, But when Newsom, remember when he cleaned up the streets of San Francisco for Xi Jinping's visit to the city?
Yeah.
And or to the the state and the city. And homelessness is such an issue out there on the West Coast. And in that situation, you have the liberal governor and liberal mayors, but this liberal governor who wants to be the leader of the Democratic Party, and he cleaned up that homeless situation like nobody's business, all because the Chinese dictator was coming to town.
It's almost like a movie set. Mm-hmm. Think of a movie set that's, this is not really real life. This is just a big board that looks like a bunch of buildings, looks like a downtown area. And in a way, he whitewashed that, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
That was not a real depiction of that city.
No.
That city has got this terrible homelessness problem. And
drug problem.
At least temporarily, he was able to whitewash it of that. But that was simply for the way it looked to the Chinese.
All about optics.
Yeah.
And if you don't think it matters how your nation's capital looks, think of how many world leaders have come through there just in these first 200-plus days now of the Trump administration. Also, with all that being said, I hope, and I think there have been some news articles that have pointed out, and I hope they're on the right track, but mental institutions, or at least making it possible for a lot of these people who are clearly having some serious mental issues, and so many are our veterans, too, if you think about that, that there is a way to not just, clean up the streets for the people that don't want to see tents in their backyard and people doing drugs, but to also put those people, those homeless people, in a situation where they can be taken care of if it's such a bad mental condition that they can't be out on the streets, or for those who can maybe turn their life around.
Yeah.
They're kind of given that option and ability, but away from private commerce and private land that people own. It's a terrible situation nationwide.
So what piques me about this is Trump's words are, and we've learned here, especially during this term, you can believe his words because the same, but when he compares it to the border, and then you look at the unquestioned success of what happened at the border, it's like if he's going to go in with the same kind of sweeping aggression and make sure this happens, he can't break the law. Even if he doesn't break the law, he's going to be pinned up against the law by protesters who are saying whatever. But you have a couple of things. A lot of those gangs or that he says, you're simply going to go to jail. Like, we don't want you to leave. You hang around, keep doing what you're doing, you're going to jail. A lot of these are youthful offenders. They're kids. But he doesn't care. He's like over all that. And the homeless problem is sad. And I'm not saying he doesn't care, but his first things first, he's prioritizing cleaning that up. So let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And if anything happens that, you or I disagree with the way he goes about it, we can talk about that. But it's going to be interesting to see the way he tackles two big problems in his city at one time.
Crime and homelessness, and they're both interlinked in so many ways.
Yeah.
He also said this in a different post yesterday. The mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser, is a good person who has tried, but she has been given many chances, and the crime numbers get worse, and the city only gets dirtier and less attractive. Bowser was on MSNBC yesterday and said, if the priority is to show force in an American city, we know he can do that here, but it won't be because there's a spike in crime. So she's saying crime is actually down and there's no need for this. But you know that the Democrats are going to try to make some hay again off of this using the woe is me card, like we've seen with so many of these ICE protests as well.
Yeah, and Trump is overstepping, and Trump is he's not taking in the human factor in all this, and kids come from poverty, and that leads to bad behavior, and the homeless people have minds and hearts too, and you can't be so heartless. But he's just looking at it overall, saying something's got to be done now. So that's, I'm really interested
and
to see what it is.
And he continues, I think, to be on the popular side of these cultural issues.
I agree.
While the Democrats are saying this is all terrible and bad, you look at the voters and what they think, and you look at the business owners in D.C., what do you think they want to see happen? I think he's coming out the winner in a lot of these different cultural issues he's kind of taken on head on.
I would agree. And when you see the quotes from the business owners in downtown Cincinnati who said that beating that happened in their downtown district is just kind of a symptom of the crime that they're dealing with as business owners in that downtown area. So, you know, you're right. Business owners are speaking out. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
It is 8:21, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 251-343-0106.
8:26, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Right now it's time to talk with Vince Allegri from Allegri Farm Market in Daphne for what's on the farm this week. Hey, Vince, good morning.
Good morning, son.
So I know you guys are busy as all get out at Allegri Farm Market. Kids going back to school. We'll get on in just a minute how you've made it easier for parents out there. But I want to start off by talking about the okra because you guys are you got a lot of okra in-house right now.
Yeah, we do. It's finally started making enough that we can offer it by the bushel now. Customers have been asking. So now it's probably the best time to put up some okra if you need to.
Yeah, and love some okra. I'm trying to get the kids in on the fried okra. They're coming around a little late on that, but all the more for me, I guess. I know you got a lot of potatoes you're harvesting too, but a big thing going on in Allegri right now, you're planting for fall, huh?
Yeah, we're planting for fall, and there's one other thing I'd like to bring up. I need to start remembering to tell everybody when we start getting an abundance of stuff because that's the time for them to put it up. That's why I thought about the okra this morning. Mm-hmm. But we have included our fall planting starting now, and yesterday I spent a lot of time plotting in the field where I'm going to put which product.
And, of course, that is just an outstanding selection once we get around and you're harvesting all those fall vegetables. Let people know, too, with school officially in session starting today for basically everybody, you guys have made it easy on some parents. You have cut-up fruits for lunches and then also some cut-up vegetables and kind of heat and eats for dinner for people to make it easy on them.
All right, we've got the frozen casserole. They're easy for dinner, and my favorite, we have some chicken and dumplings there. Mm. I never thought those had been that great, but they are awesome, and in 30 minutes, you got them ready to eat, and believe it or not, I can cook that.
Yeah, I think I could get after it too, Vince, if the directions are on it, then just throw it in the oven. All right, let people know where you are and what those hours are. You're easy to get to.
Yes, sir. We're at 181 and 64 outside of Daphne. We're 4 miles off the interstate at exit 38 south.
Yeah, and as far as your hours go?
Yeah, we're open still the same hours. We're open 8 to 6, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 on Sunday.
All right, Vince, we appreciate it, and have a great week.
All right, thank you very much. Talk to you next week.
Vince Allegri with Allegri Farm Market in Daphne, and that's what's on the farm this week.
Well, no surprise on the text line talking about Trump, D.C., crime, and more...
National Guard rolling out.
Well, and they're really talking about the homeless situation here. And most on the text line are saying send them to sanctuary cities, L.A., Chicago. A couple of texts saying put them on the bus and send them to the place where sanctuary cities, but they're also, of course, homeless encampments all over those towns.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Well, it's a problem everywhere, and I think it is a topic that's come up several times and necessarily during the mayoral elections. And Jason, he sends us a picture. He said, saw this Friday at Government and Catherine. Looks like someone passed out on the side of the road on the curb. Said, offered help and got cussed out. Sad. And
wow.
People see that all the time, even right here in Mobile.
8:30 FM Talk 106.5.
Coming up, more of your texts, 251-343-0106. Plus, we'll talk with Desi Tobias from Tobias and Comer Law at the end of the hour. Hey, thanks, Kane. 8:35 on FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Let's head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We are doing just fine. Been enjoying some cooler days than we're used to over summer. It'll heat up before you know it. And already hot is the lot at McConnell Automotive. Plenty of great vehicles for folks to choose by if they come by.
That's right. We're getting trades every day. We're selling cars every day. And, I mean, it just got a great selection of used cars, man. We hadn't had this many trucks in a long time. We got over 35 trucks. Mm. That's two- and four-wheel drive, GM certified. Don't forget hunting season right around the corner. You need a nice little pickup truck to head to the hunting camp. We got plenty of them. No new car side, we got great rebates. We got 0% on pickup trucks. Got a great selection of three-quarter ton trucks and got a few Yukons and Yukon XLs coming in. So Just check everything out online, McConnellAutomotive.com, or come by and see us.
Yep, and that's easy, too, right there off Dauphin Street. We appreciate it, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
Louie Arata. Go see him. McConnell Automotive, Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
So the little girls are back in school. You're 4 and 6 year old, and, you know, politics creeps into schools as well. I don't know if they're going to have any redistricting at their schools. Redistrict the first grade into one area that...
It is interesting, I think, going forward, you know, what this school choice will mean as the money going, in a way, I guess, back into the pockets of a lot of private school parents. Mm-hmm. I don't think the law was built that way. It was kind of what was passed by the Alabama legislature. It was pushed as this bill to get people who are in underperforming public schools into better locations, better districts, and private schools in many cases. But you look at the numbers early on in this kind of tiered way of more and more people eventually being able to apply and get these school choice grants. So far, it's just a bunch of people who are already having their kids in private school and they're getting that funding, which is, you know, fine by me, because I'm going to, if I'm able to get that money going forward too. But I think it,
you have to qualify for it, though.
You have to qualify. And right now, there are a lot of qualifiers on it. It'll really open up to pretty much everyone in 2 years if the money's still there. But I think that's going to change the way a lot of private schools do business. And I think you might see some school campuses possibly growing or changing in many ways just because of this new education world we're headed towards here in Alabama.
Yeah, if there's more money out there that can be spent on private schools, a lot of private schools would be happy to welcome that money through their doors, mm-hmm. as in a child.
Yeah.
But if they're looking at it from a business perspective, they're like, yeah, we can take this on. We can try to maintain our school still to be what we want it to be.
Yeah.
While we're bringing on a number of public
new
school students who are,
and I'm not
less familiar with the way we do things around here.
I'm not sure exactly how all these schools are going to play their cards, but that'll be something worth watching here over these next few years. As far as the redistricting thing, and I know more conversation on that on the Sunday shows yesterday, it just amazes me. I'm kind of just watching in awe because Alabama's been fighting this redistricting battle in the courts now for, 4 years, mm-hmm. seems like, and redrawn maps and being told the maps don't work and that, you know, we were possibly going to go under some form of federal receivership. But so on Friday, there was a ruling, and they again said that Bama's not going to be allowed to redraw its lines until after the 2030 census. But they also did away with the idea of the feds kind of having to approve anything in Alabama, which was a worry of some folks. But as that all is going on, you look at Texas saying, we're getting rid of all the Democrat districts. And then you have California and Illinois saying, well, all the Republicans are gone. I'm like, what's going on? Why can't Alabama? Can we just put Mobile in its own district? Not split it in two? That seems too difficult. Welcome back. Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. And a pleasure once again to welcome into our lovely studio here at Airport and 65. Desi Tobias with Tobias and Comer Law, and time for another edition of Law 251. Good morning, Desi.
Good morning, Dalton. Good to see you.
Yeah, great to see you too. And I love we're talking about, I know it's one of your favorite topics, one of your favorite parts of life, it sounds like to me. We're talking being on the water, but not just being on the water, working on the water, and how important the maritime industry is and the shipbuilding industry is to Mobile, Alabama. And we talk Austal all the time, of course, and the jobs that have been brought in by Austal and all the work that's going out. And I mean, you really have to know your acronyms if you're working with Austal, because all of their ships have, of course, these acronyms, and it seems like they're getting a new ship contract left and right. But the industry here in Mobile is much, much older than Austal being around. And we still see a lot of these shipbuilders and folks that repair ships still hard at work down there on our port and elsewhere along the Gulf Coast here.
Yeah, that's right. And I love talking about Mobile Bay. Mobile Bay is a treasure, a national, international treasure that we have here. in our backyard. It's something I've been around my whole life, and it's my favorite place. And it's what it means to Mobile has great significance. And it also leads into the commercial significance that it has, the shipbuilding. At Tobias and Comer, what I like to do is a lot of maritime work, representing injured persons, injured on what we call a vessel or around the water. There are various types of claims, and you and I have often talked about that. But it really got me interested about the shipbuilding industry here. And I read this month's Mobile Bay Monthly, the July issue, mm-hmm. and it had a history of Alabama shipbuilding and how it started, like back in 1916. There was a guy named David Dunlap, who is now in the Alabama Business Hall of Fame. Mm. Started a shipyard with several other local entities that ultimately became ADSCO, Alabama Dry Dock and Shipbuilding Company. That turned into the Liberty ships that were built some, 97 days or 70-something days, the number of things that they turned out. It had huge significance to our local community. It was an integrated workforce. I understand that Hank Aaron's father worked there. And ultimately, you know, came into a broader base of shipbuilding that we still have today. There is, of course, you know, we have Blakely Boat Works here on the river. There are, you know, the shipbuild, the dry dock is still going. It's often repair. Mm-hmm. We have Austal and the number of ships that they have, and there are several local down in Bayou La Batre, Steiner Shipbuilding, Master Boat Works, several of those. And of interest, I recently, you know, just in talking to some of the people that I know, learned about a new contract, a $1.2 billion contract that was let to a company for the building of Coast Guard ships.
Yeah. So is that the Birdon? They ended up getting that contract, right, for the Coast Guard ships. Is that right?
Correct. Birdon. And apparently it was Birdon teamed with Bollinger to meet some requirements. Birdon's actually an Australian company. To meet the requirements, whatever it was that apparently they deemed to have been met. Mm-hmm. And it's a great thing for Mobile because they're going to be down there in the bayou building these ships. But ultimately, my understanding is Bollinger pulled out. And most importantly, there were a couple of local entities that bid on the same project and were $280 million lower than the bid that was ultimately won. Mm. And the questions are, how did it get so much lower? And, you know, for a company that's coming in here to start new. Again,
yeah.
It's a great economic impact for us. But it was very interesting to me to learn some of the specifics. And in particular, yeah, there were two very good local companies that bid. And for some reason, the value or whatever led to somebody else getting the contract.
Yeah, that's something because when the news kind of came out, you know, another massive contract for someone who's going to set up shop down here in Mobile. It's like, oh, it's good news. Big jobs and a lot of jobs coming this way. I didn't hear much at all about the other bids. And it's kind of one of those things like you go to whoever your representative is or you start asking and say, hey, if these other companies had a lower bid and they're established and they can do the job, why go for the other? It's kind of almost like a bite the hand that feeds you kind of thing. Cause they'll go, well, you're getting jobs. What are you complaining about? But also as a taxpayer, even if you're not even from here, you go, hey, you're avoiding lower bids. Why? Tell us why.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it was like Steiner Shipbuilding and Master Boat Works were the two other bids that are still left wondering about the questions about whatever.
Yeah.
But we all like to see a strong, healthy port, strong mm-hmm. economic activity around the port, including shipbuilding. But it's something that somebody else ought to look into, but
yeah.
I just wanted to mention that.
Talking with Desi Tobias with Tobias and Comer Law for another edition of Law 251 and really kind of focused on the shipbuilding industry, the maritime industry, which the history is just expansive. And I know you love digging into that stuff as well. But a more recent controversy, and maybe it's not as recent, we were kind of talking off the air about mud dumping and this big controversy now where you have politicians weighing in. I know State Senator Elliott has been very vocal about this lately. Senator Katie Britt and Senator Tuberville both mentioning what's going on down here at the port. And the Corps of Engineers, so we have this port deepening and deepening project for sure that's been going on for some time now. And then what do you do with that dredge spoil? And it's been going back out into the bay, but not very far offshore. And that's been a controversy. I know a lot of our listeners think there must be a better way to dispose of this sediment.
Yeah, and you know we got specific authorization to widen and deepen the port, and there's a complicated process, permitting process, and all that. And there were some objections to that, but ultimately, everybody would like to see the port be viable. I don't say everybody, but yeah. You know, ultimately, I accept that as a good thing. Mm-hmm. And as the project went through several phases, though, they got into there's ways that they've been doing it here more recently. There was something called a thin layer placement, which is supposed to go back to the coastline restoration. But more recently, since there's not been any other habitat restoration, they've been just dumping it directly into the bay. And if you go to the Grand Hotel, which is several of the people you mentioned, yeah. looked out there and saw the dredges. And then if you see the visual of that, you know, again, we support the widening, the deepening, all those things. But doing it in that way has led to, and it's been across the board, the fishing captains who are going to the Washington, D.C., Mayor Henry Barnes speaking on behalf of the shrimpers and the mm-hmm. fishermen and all those types of people that make a living from the bay, that, you know, and all of us, our property values are all greatly impacted by what we see as a clean and beautiful bay. And so there's been a lot of movement on that, a lot of work, a lot of issues. And I looked to see whether there were some lawsuits about it. And there was someone filed suit in April of 2025, and it had specifically to do to the sturgeon habitat, mm-hmm. which that case was, it was mostly about getting documents, about the Freedom of Information Act documents. The baykeeper, Mobile Baykeeper, has threatened lawsuits and has filed a notice of intent. But more recently, which is great to see, they put out a press release or a letter signed by many across the community having people look at how to stop the specific issue of the dumping. And what they hope for now, and what I hear Senator Katie Britt is saying, she's not going to stop till it happens. Mm-hmm. I understand Tommy Tuberville is not going to stop till it happens, is to look for a legislative solution.
Yeah.
And I hope that's what we see, because again, it's undeniable some of the changes that you're seeing in the bay.
Yeah, and I think State Senator Elliott, you know, more recently as well, wondering what the state legislature can do. He said, under that water, that floor of the port, of the bay, that's state land. And he's saying, you know, is there something we can do up in Montgomery about this? Generally, like you said, most people are fine with the deepening and widening of the port, if it means better business for Mobile, more money into the economy, more jobs. But also generally on the other side, people are saying there's got to be some other way to do this. And I think maybe what got most people's attention with this thing is visual evidence, and visual evidence is very powerful. There's been you watch videos of the shrimpers, the oystermen, and talking about what this might mean for their business. But until there was a video of that spoil actually being sprayed out from behind one of those boats, and it didn't seem like there was a careful placement of sediment. It just seemed like it was being sprayed out there. I think that kind of got a lot of people's attention after that.
It did get a lot of attention, and there is another way to do that. From 1986 to 2012, what we call mud dumping, what someone else may call thin layer placement, mm-hmm. was illegal.
Oh.
And so the bay was dredged, and you know, we're getting the largest Panamanian ships, you know, canal ships in, you know, the bay was and the channel was maintained, mm-hmm. but whatever, this practice was allowed, and I understand there's some benefit to it, but at this point, let's do it a different way if we can. And let's try to go back to that. Let's get the channel wide and let's keep the Bay beautiful.
Well, I got to tell you, doing talk radio, especially as much as we focus on local talk radio, we don't see much unanimity in our audience. It's tough to find someone who's against any of what you just said that listens to us. This is a beautiful treasure that we have here where we live, and it's already tough enough to maintain what we have going for us here. Let's just try a little harder to keep this place as beautiful as possible and as easy for people to work as possible too, whether it's that just small company that's out there trying to fish or these big boats that we're bringing in through the port. I think we can try to make it so that everybody can make a good living around here.
I agree with you. And it's something we don't want to lose. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to keep this. And again, it's been very viable. It's been great for us. The other point I wanted to make is that the unanimity that you talk about, to have the people for this. And again, there's some other sides to mm-hmm. it. The Alabama Port Authority wants to continue, as I understand. There's some other people that, you know, there is some pushback on this, but broadly, the coalition and support of changing that practice is huge, and makes me optimistic that we can get some help with that.
Well, Desi, you know so much about this industry and this area. I'd hate to invite myself. I need to ride around with you one of these days. You can just point out these places and say, hey, you know what's gone on there for decades, and this shipbuilding place over here, because your knowledge is, well, it's vast on not just this topic, but we are talking about that right now, but so many things around here. And that carries through with Tobias and Comer Law. You and Brian and Lacey have so much knowledge on all of these different topics. I know we load up our podcast on the website at tobiascomerlaw.com every month, but it has all kinds of other great information there as well.
It does. We're 1203 Dauphin Street. You can go to the website. There's a ton of information. You can always call us if there's any question. 251-432-5001. We answer questions all the time and are happy to do that.
All right. Thank you, Desi, so much for coming in, and looking forward to talking with you again here soon.
Thank you, Dalton. Great to see you again.
All right. Desi Tobias with Tobias and Comer Law and another edition of Law 251. Coming up next, the Jeff Poor Show right here on FM Talk 106.5.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others. Is your wife hot?